He had been in hiding for years, afraid for his life. But now he stood on a high place. He was almost 1,750 feet above the sea below him. He looked out across a valley that was devastated, parched by sun. The Valley of Jezreel was most always a lush, beautiful land, fed by winter rains that would bump up against the range he stood on, pour water into cisterns that would irrigate the gardens, the vineyards, lentils. The colors were magnificent, but not today. Nothing was alive. Normally, the fruit trees went 1,000 feet up the side of the mountain, but today they were dead. Limestone and flint outcroppings were everywhere. He turned and he looked towards the Mediterranean, took in the sights. From where he was, it ran downhill all the way to the sea. And then his gaze lowered to the spectacle in front of him. The altar was magnificent, built for worship, made of great stones, limestone hewn from the rocks of that mountainside. And it was built to worship Baal. The Canaanites had called him the master of the earth and the sky. He who rides upon the clouds, that's what they called him. He who caused the rain to fall and the lightning to flash. He was their god of fertility, the lord of the rain and the dew. They believed it was he who caused the land to flourish and the crops to grow. Some 20 or 30 yards from that altar, there was a heap of rubble, boulders scattered across the mountainside. They too had once been an altar, but now just a pile of rocks. It was there for years that sacrifice had been offered to the one true God, but not anymore. Anger coursed through him at the thought of that. It made his blood boil. Suddenly the wind, scorching, blew across his face and dust filled his eyes. And he turned on his heel and he headed down the mountain to find the king. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. Our text is found in 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 17 through 21. When Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said to him, "Is it you, you troubler of Israel?" And he answered, "I have not troubled Israel, but you have, and your father's house, because you have abandoned the commandments of the Lord and followed the Baals. Now therefore send and gather all of Israel to meet me at Mount Carmel, and the 450 prophets of Baal, and the 400 prophets of Asherah, who eat at Jezebel's table." So Ahab sent to all the people of Israel and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel, and Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you go limping between two different opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." And the people did not answer him a word. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your presence here this morning. We thank you that we can stand in awe before the magnificence of your power and your grace. We love you for your mercy, for your unfailing love. You who were before the beginning, and you that shall be here after the end. We thank you for your word, for all that it means to us. Help us to set aside all of the thoughts of the things of this week. I ask you to take a coal from off your altar and touch my lips. Purify this vessel. Cleanse me, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, for you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. 3 years before, Ahab had been in conversation with Elijah. It was more than a conversation, it was a confrontation. Ahab was the son of Omri, and he had done evil in the sight of the Lord. God sent Elijah to confront him. It's recorded in 1 Kings 17, chapter 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite of Tishbe of Gilead said unto Ahab, As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. Elijah looked at Ahab and he said, It won't rain until I say so. And then God tells Elijah to hide. It wasn't just because of his fear of Ahab the king. It was because of Jezebel, his wife, and her hatred for the living God. She was a wicked, wicked woman. She was a Phoenician. And it was her intent to destroy all thought of the living God from Israel and to destroy all the prophets of God that lived there. 3.5 years has passed. Elijah's been in hiding. For a while he spent time at a creek. The ravens fed him. Then God sent him to a widow. She took care of him. Her son died. God raised him up. He comes headed to find Ahab, and as he's walking along the road, Scripture says, and suddenly he saw Obadiah. Obadiah hasn't seen him for 3.5 years. He's not sure it's him. Is it you, Elijah, my Lord? And he falls on his face. It is I. Go tell Ahab I am here. I love the next part of this conversation. Obadiah says, Have I sinned? Do you not like me? Why would I go tell King Ahab that you're here when I know how God moves you around? Elijah would be here, God would take him there. He wasn't walking. He was being transported long before Star Trek. Obadiah looks at him and he goes, I don't have any way of knowing for sure that when I tell Ahab, you're going to be here, that when we get back, you're going to be here. And he doesn't know that I've hid 100 prophets, 50 in one cave, 50 in another. And if he finds out, well, it won't matter, because if you're gone, he'll kill me. The Spirit of the Lord may carry you, I know not where. And so when I come and tell Ahab, and he cannot find you, he will kill me, although I, your servant, have feared the Lord from my youth. Elijah looks at Obadiah and he says, I'll be here. Ahab comes to meet Elijah. He calls him the troubler of Israel. Elijah looks at him and he says, I'm not the troubler. You are. I'm not the one that's caused all the problems. You are. It's not my problem, Ahab. Deal with it. Then Elijah tells Ahab to gather all the children of Israel and bring them to Mount Carmel. This isn't a single peak. This is a mountain range. It's 25 miles long, 5 miles at the base, comes off the Mediterranean Sea, rises to its peak, and then runs southeast. There's room for all the 10 tribes together at the foot of that mountain. And he has to call the 450 prophets of Baal and the 400 prophets of Asherah. They worship the master of the earth and the sky. These 10 tribes are ruled by one of the most wicked kings that had ever come to power. Scripture says Ahab was worse than all of the other kings before him. And Ahab, the son of Omri, did evil in the sight of the Lord, more than all who were before him. And as if it had been a light thing to him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, he took for his wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ichbal, the king of Sidonians, and went and served Baal and worshiped him. He erected an altar before Baal in the house of Baal, which he built in Samaria. And Ahab made an Asherah. Ahab did more to provoke the Lord, the God of Israel, to anger than all the kings of Israel who were before him. What a legacy. He had ordered the city of Jericho to be rebuilt. Remember when Joshua had the children of Israel surround Jericho and they went around it for 7 days? And then God made it go flat. Joshua cursed that city. He said, if it's ever rebuilt, the man who rebuilds it will lose his firstborn and his youngest. The man who rebuilt that city of Jericho for Ahab lost his firstborn son and his youngest. They're listed in Scripture. But that didn't stop Ahab. He took a wife of a foreign nation. She worshipped false gods. He built an altar to Baal in the temple of Baal. And then he had an Asherah made. It's a pole. It's a carved tree with graven images all around it. They set it close to the altar of Baal to worship the female deity of Baal, Asherah. 950 prophets of a false god climb that mountain. They surround Ahab, and all by himself, Elijah stands there. Elijah turns to the people, and this is what he says. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? And the people did not answer him a word. What did he ask? What was really his question? In the ESV, it says limping. In the Hebrew, it's poseim. It's used only once in all of Scripture, right here. It's a verb. It means action. How long will you hesitate? How long will you vacillate? How long will you falter in your purpose? That's what Elijah said to the children of Israel. I only am left a prophet of the Lord, but Baal's prophets are 450 men. Today, we enter into battle on this mountain. And you can choose God or Baal. Stop limping around. Elijah said, go get two bulls. You guys pick whichever one you want. Cut it up in pieces. Take wood, put it on the altar. And then ask your God to send fire. It's the only condition. You can't light this sacrifice. Get it all prepared. It was 9 o'clock in the morning. It was the time of the morning sacrifice. Lay it all out. Get it all ready. And then just ask your God to light it off. They started praying. They yelled and they hollered. They danced. At noon, Elijah said this, cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he's musing or he's relieving himself. He's either in great contemplation or he's in the bathroom and the fan is on and he can't hear you. Tell you what, if you don't think the Bible's direct, you better read it again. Maybe he's on a journey or perhaps he's asleep. You need to wake him. This is Baal. This is the God of the earth and the sky. This is the God of the dew and the rain. You think there wasn't a purpose in the fact that God said, it's not going to rain until Elijah says it will rain? They think you're in control. I'm in control. And until I tell you to speak the word, there won't be a drop. All of Israel had dried up. It was dead for as far as you could see. You guys can go look up the pictures. Those fields today, that valley is lush. It's beautiful. There's multiple colors as it comes into bloom. It was one of the most fertile plains in all of Israel, and it was dead as a mackerel. Because God said, it's not going to rain. Scripture says they cut themselves till the blood gushed out. They did everything they could to wake him up. They cried aloud and cut themselves after their custom with swords and lances until the blood gushed out upon them. And as midday passed, they raved on until the time of the offering of the oblation, and there was no voice, no one answered, no one paid any attention. Elijah let him beg on from noon until 3. 6 hours till the time of the evening sacrifice. Finally, he had had enough. He called the people to him. He didn't call the priest. He called the people to come close. He wanted them to watch. The scripture says that one prophet rebuilt the altar of the Lord that had been torn down. All across this nation, in church after church, the altar has been destroyed. You go into denomination after denomination, and there is no place for repentance. No call for people to come and repent, because no one has repaired the altar of the Lord, and there can be no repentance when the altar of God is in disrepair. Elijah took those 12 stones. He stacked them up. As he did it, all those children of Israel watched. He didn't stack 10 stones. He stacked 12, one for each of the children of Jacob. He set them out. Everybody standing there knew the commandment that had been given. They had studied it as children. You shall be called Israel. You shall be called by my name. He dug a trench around that altar. This is how big the scripture says it is. It was big enough that when they poured the water on it, it held enough water to plant a half a bushel of grain and soak it. That's a lot of water. They'd been in famine for 3.5 years, it was not easy to get that water. They had to haul it up the mountainside. He cut that bull into pieces. He took the wood. He put it on the altar. He laid out the pieces of the sacrifice. And then he said, pour water on it. And they did. And then he said, do it again. And they did it again. And then he said, do it one more time. Till the trench was full of water. And then he bowed his head and he prayed. He didn't raise his voice. He didn't shout. He didn't cut himself. He didn't swing anything around. He didn't dance a jig. He bowed his head and he prayed. O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and that I have done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God and that you have turned their hearts back. It was a split second. Fire from heaven fell. I read this last night over and over and over again, and I thought to myself, they were worshiping the God of lightning. When their eyes adjusted, everything was gone. He hadn't just burned the sacrifice. He had taken the bull and the wood and the stones and the water. And the scripture says that that fire licked up the very dust of the earth. It didn't take him very long. And when the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, "The Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God." On that mountain that day, a battle raged. Good against evil, truth against lies, all that was wrong against all that was righteous, the prince of evil against Almighty God. The challenge to the false prophets had been simple. You call on your God, I'll call on mine. We'll see who answers. But Elijah's challenge to the children of Israel was different. How long will you go limping between two different opinions? They had no answer. They knew all the history. They knew all of the astounding things that God had done for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They knew how God had delivered their ancestors in Egypt, the Red Sea, the cloud by day, the fire by night. Over and over again, God had shown Himself mighty. He had delivered them. He had fought for them. And they stumbled around. They limped around. Should we worship this God or should we worship this God? Unable to decide what to do, he said, "How long is this going to go on? When will you decide who the true God is and follow Him?" God help us. It's the same disaster that Christianity faces today. The church falters, it hesitates, it wavers, it limps from one crisis to another, unable to decide what to do. It's diabolical. It's time to make a choice. Is sin really sin? Is the Bible really true? Is it infallible? Is it inerrant? I have conversations with pastors in this town. They can't answer that question positively. It's because the altar has been torn down. Is it the word of Almighty God? Yes, it is. It's infallible. It's inerrant. It cannot fail, and there is no error in it. And sin is sin. If you don't believe that, there's no reason to be here. You just as well go home now. Don't waste your time, don't waste mine. If what the Bible calls sin is not sin, we have stripped Christ off the cross. There is no reason for salvation. It's just one more Jew that died in vain. It's a waste of time. Let me tell you something. Sin is sin. And there's judgment. And it's coming. Hell is absolute outer darkness. And the fire that burns within it is not the fire of Satan. The fire that burns within hell is the wrath of God against sin. The worship of Baal in the Old Testament was the worship of all that was evil. It was a mixture of idolatry, perverted sexuality, and child sacrifice. And nothing has changed. Today, all over the world, Baal is worshipped. We worship the environment. We worship the land and the sea, the oceans, the animals, the rainforest. We're more concerned about a little green frog than we are about unborn babies that are dying every day. We worship all kinds of idols. We worship the mind, the body, science, evolution, the arts, anything and everything that would distract us from the one true God. We search for any way to try to disprove that God created us, that He created the universe, that He created the world around us, all because we don't want to answer to one who is in charge and have to take responsibility for the way we are. We're consumed by things. Everything must be the latest and the greatest. We can't wait for anything. We want it now. Turn on your TV. It's nothing but trash. Alternative lifestyles are trumpeted. Marriage between a man and a woman are reviled. Sexual perversion is everywhere, and it's not only accepted, it's the new normal. And it's sin. The prince of darkness is worshipped in high places because the altar of the Lord has been torn down. I can't be silent. You cannot be silent. God requires commitment. We have to choose Him. That was the challenge that Elijah gave to the children of Israel on the mountain that day. Either he's alive or he's dead. If he's alive, follow him. If he's not, follow Baal. We must stand up. We must proclaim him. The battle rages all around us, and it's time for us to pray. It's time for us to fast. I'm challenging you today. Fast. Pray. Take a day out of every week. Start with missing one meal, then go to two, then three, then sundown to sundown. Deprive your body of the things that pleasure you and pray. That's the only way anything will change. We cannot falter. We cannot waver. We must not hesitate. I'm going to get really close to home now. If you just come to church once in a while, if you only show up when it's convenient for you, don't waste your time. Make a commitment. Choose to follow God and be in the house of the Lord. Don't waffle. You're either in or out. It's not difficult. You go, but Pastor Mark, I'm so busy. I know. Worshiping idols. You have to take time for God. There is nothing more important than this. You say, well, you get paid to do this. Wait till the meeting upstairs. I would do it for free. It burns inside of me. I want it to burn inside of you till it consumes you to the point that you can't stand it anymore and you have to stand up and say, He's God. I met with a man a few weeks ago. He's experienced salvation. And yet he was overwhelmed with the struggle with sin. I spend time talking to him. I let him know how much it breaks God's heart. He has to choose who he's going to serve. You can't go from one to the other and back again. You have to follow God or you will burn in hellfire. If you're sitting here and you don't know if you're saved or not, today you better decide. I can tell you when you've been confronted like this, God's patience gets short. Don't hesitate. Don't waffle. Give yourself to God. On the mountain that day before the fire fell, the Israelites had not said a word. When Elijah spoke to them, they were silent. Just like us when we don't commit our lives fully to Him. You know why we don't? Because we want a little more time on our own. We want a little more pleasure. We want a little more fun. It's not worth it. Joshua stood before the people and he said, choose this day who you'll serve. Elijah stood before them and he said, God or Baal? Just make a decision. The false gods of this world are dead. They can't hear us when we cry for mercy. They can't speak when the need for words of comfort comes. They can't reach down and pick us up when we fall. They can't do anything to help us. They can't change our lives. They can't heal our bodies. They can't forgive our sins. Only one God can. And He sent His Son to die for us and then to rise again. It wasn't so we could go to heaven. It was so he could come and be with us. It's all he's wanted to ever do is spend time with you and me like he used to do with Adam and Eve. He just wants to walk in the garden. He wants to fellowship with each one of us. He wants us to know him, to trust him, to have faith in him. You might have gone to church all your life. I did. I was a pastor's son. I went to Sunday school. I went to Wednesday night church. I went to Bible study. I used to travel with my dad. I went to church 3 times a day, 6 days a week. We held revival meetings sometimes for 7 weeks at a time. I sang in every service, played the bass guitar. It has nothing to do with commitment. There are people all over this country. They're standing on platforms. They're holding guitars. They're singing in microphones. They're preaching in Sunday school and in the pulpit, and they're sinning every day. That's how come the altar of God has been torn down. It lays at our feet. Is he real? Absolutely. But let me ask you something. When you're in a group of people and somebody uses his name in vain, do you say anything? Does it make your heart hurt? Let me tell you, if I'm in a group of people and somebody says something about this lady right here, my coat will come off. I've had it happen before. And I made a phone call. And I told the man who had said it, meet me wherever you want to meet. You'll never speak like that to her again. Why won't we do that for God Almighty? When you're confronted with the diabolical things in life that pummel us, get up and shut off the TV. Get up and walk out of the movie theater. Turn off the internet. We have more perversion available today than ever in our lifetimes. I read a statistic last night. There's over 2 billion Christians in the world. We're the biggest religious organization there is. By 2050, there'll be over 3 billion of us. Who cares? We're just like the children of Israel. We're standing at the bottom of Mount Carmel, and the sacrifices are going on, and the false prophets are shouting and yelling and screaming and cutting themselves, and there's no answer. Stand up. Pray a simple prayer. Make a choice. Either before him or against him, but choose today. Let's bow our heads.